because we are hiring so many people. So just in North America, we're hiring 155 people this year. And in Europe, it's comparable. So we're going to hire over about 300 people. So we're rotating the leaders within that committee.
Got it.
Don't worry. Everyone's going to get their fair share of it.
Yeah, it's 155. I don't know how big the organization is, but that's a lot of interviews.
Yeah, we're only 400 people right now. We're going to double the organization in the next year.
This is the Rebel HR Podcast, the podcast where we talk to HR innovators about all things people leadership. If you're looking for places to find about new ways to think about the world of work, this is the podcast for you. Please subscribe from your favorite podcast listening platform today and leave us a review. Rebel on, HR Rebels.
All right, Rebel HR listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm super excited for our guest. This is going to be a fun one this week. With us, we have Cindy Klein. Cindy is a results-driven, customer-focused professional with 20-plus years of sales, digital marketing, and management experience. She is the Senior Vice President of Sales at Talent.com. Talent.com just completed a round with $120 million in Series B funding as well. So congratulations on that, Cindy, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kyle. Happy to be here.
Well, we are so happy to have you today. Thank you so much for your patience. We had some tech issues before I hit record, and you were just an absolute dream and super patient. So can't wait for the conversation today, but thank you in advance.
Of course. I'm always patient because I'm normally the one that has the tech issues. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a funny allegory for what we've all gone through over the last few years, right? It's like everything is going digital and we're trying to figure out, you know, all the tech issues and myself, not necessarily a digital native as it relates to these sorts of things and video calls. And in your role as doing a lot of recruiting as well as helping others recruit, I'm sure you have seen this change in the recruiting space. So over the last few years, what have been your observations for how we have all had to adapt into the new talent environment?
Yeah, I think the biggest evolution has been the videos. I think with COVID, it really has shifted and we've had to change the way of in-person, you know, meetings. And I think that's a big piece. Number one is like, you know, it's always nice to meet in person. I know I'm going to more meetings now, more conferences, but that's number one. I think also, you know, just the response time. When we're responding to candidates, it used to be, it was acceptable to respond to them in a couple days, 48 hours. Now, you know, candidates in this generation, the new generations, the millennials and other generations, Generation X, they want responses in 2 hours or less. They expect immediate response. So I think, you know, that's tough.
It is tough. You know, I think the key word there is candidate expectations. And, you know, it's just changed so much. As you look at that, do you feel like that is a product of just the talent scarcity that we're in right now? Or is this something that's broader than just the current kind of hiring environment?
I think it's broader than the current hiring environment. I think we're going to see this continue to scale at a more extreme level. I think about my children and how they want an immediate response. They'll be, you know, on their phone and they expect someone to respond to them in a text within minutes. And if I don't respond, they call me. They'll call me until I respond. So I think that is the next generation. Like they want immediate gratification. Whatever they're doing, they want that gratification.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reflecting on myself here a little bit and I'm thinking, let's see, last night I was too lazy to cook. So I used DoorDash and I hit the button and it instantly popped up and says your order's being ready. And then, you know, and it had it like every step of the way I'm getting these updates and I'm getting these text messages. And it is truly like, it's that instant gratification. It just seems to be continually interwoven into our society and subsequently our expectations, right?
Yeah. And I think you think about that with the candidate journey, what are we doing and what are employers doing to give that candidate that update throughout the process? We almost need that DoorDash or that Uber Eats experience. And throughout that process? Like, where's your step in the process? Are you, have you interviewed? Where's the next step for the second interview? And giving that them the text message to give them that information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what you're saying is, for that hiring manager that's complaining about all these open jobs, they can't wait for like 11 days to review those 20 resumes that are sitting in the
correct
in the inbox. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, correct. You know, it's funny because I worked with in my previous past, I worked with large employers, and I would work with the HR team and talent acquisition team, and we would talk about, oh, you haven't reviewed this candidate in 15 days. It's been sitting out there, and that was okay because those candidates would wait. But in this current great resignation, they're not waiting. You know, we need to take the opportunity right away.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I agree 100%. I think it's such a competitive advantage if you can make this, you know, really kind of like that frictionless candidate experience, right? Where it's like immediate touch point upon, you know, applying for a job, and then a warm outreach within a few minutes or hours. And like, sometimes I've always said, like, speed wins, right? Like, sometimes if you can get a candidate all the way through the process within a couple days, and like, oh my gosh, let's get them a job offer before the end of the week from like, they apply on Tuesday. Let's get them a job offer before Friday. Like, sometimes you can get them to accept a job and actually start a job before the other company that they apply for actually even calls them back.
Exactly.
Right. Even though that job might pay them more, but at that point you got them, right? Like, they're hooked.
And if you can get them to start within a 2-week time frame from that time, you've gotten them committed to the experience, the brand, your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you seeing? I know you have an interesting context here where I know you're personally hiring and your organization is helping others hire. So what are you seeing that works as you think about kind of that candidate experience, and what are some of the things that are working out there?
So I think from the customer side of things, and then I'll talk about from the customer side of things, I think working from home still is a very top, it's a number one search on our site still. It has, of course, it was extremely high during COVID. When COVID hit, that was the number one search. It continues still to be a number one search, just not the highest percentage. So that's really big. I think, you know, bonuses, anything included in bonuses and job descriptions, also very important from a customer perspective. I think also benefits, putting those benefits right up front. What are those? And not even benefits like healthcare benefits. I mean, perks. What are the perks of the company? Putting those up front in the job description. And I think from our perspective, when I'm as a hiring manager, it's getting in front of that customer and explaining what the true opportunity to work at a tech company, to work at something that have a voice, and really explaining your brand.
Absolutely. And so I guess I have a question on that. You know, job description, you know, I consider job descriptions like art, right? It's like everybody has an opinion and nobody's right. Like, it's in the eye of the, it's in the eye of the beholder, right?
It is.
But on a more technical side, is there a benefit from a search engine optimization standpoint of actually having some of those, like you said, bonuses and perks, and if it's a work from home position, like actually putting that in the narrative within the job description?
Yes. It actually gives you more weight on the search. So it's really important to have keywords within your search description. So, you know, you don't want to make them too heavy because, of course, then that will actually kick you out of the rankings, but you want to have those keywords. So work from home, if you're hiring, whatever your job title is. So let's say it's a CDL driver. You want to make sure that CDL driver, of course, is in your job title as well as your job description. And if there's any license requirements for a specific job, you want to make sure those are also included because that will help your overall rankings.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for any HR professionals that are maybe struggling to get some application flow, or they're not seeing that, you know, I would strongly encourage you, you know, Google SEO and job descriptions, and take a little bit of a course there. That was something for me. You know, I didn't really understand the SEO and things like that until, you know, more recently, especially in this talent environment, you really do have to be able to stand out. And when people are searching, you can't necessarily rely on, you know, whatever site you're using, mm-hmm. Or your applicant tracking system to help get that exposure. You have to make sure it's easily searchable and it pops up. So yeah,
absolutely. Because not every site uses the same search criteria.
Absolutely. So I'm curious to understand a little bit more about the business model of talent.com. So as you go to market and as you know, help HR professionals solve this challenge, what is your differentiator? What is the kind of the secret sauce of talent.com?
Yeah. So we are actually a performance-based model. So we really work with you to develop a budget, and it's pay-per-click advertising. So it's not a fixed cost, pay-per-click. We work with you based on your actual category and devise a budget. And we have over 2,000 partners we work with as well. So we can build an advertising strategy to get you to all the sources you need. And we optimize to a cost per application or cost per hire.
Got it. Okay, perfect. And believe me, I think a lot of us could use some help there. So I want to shift a little bit to maybe away from your customer, profile and what you're seeing right there to your kind of your personal journey and how you approach recruiting personally. So before we hit record, you mentioned you have what, something like 50 open positions right now that you're hiring for with all this exciting funding?
Yes, I'm hiring, a little over 50 this year.
So as you approach that and hiring for your team, what are some of those things that you are strategically thinking about in response to the great resignation, what you're seeing within the talent.com, customer base? How are you approaching the challenge of hiring 50? Because that's a lot.
It is. I think about it, actually keeps me up every night. But I think, I look at it a couple different ways. I think employee referrals. So one of the things as we develop, every company has an employee referral program, but I think that's an area that we should all be reconsidering that program. And how do we expand on that program? Because of course, your internal people are your strongest advocates of your brand. So that's number one. I think we need to reevaluate that program. Secondly, within our culture, what can we do within our culture to express that and getting candidates in? And then thirdly, I think we need to also look at how are we advertising our jobs and are they easily read and what is the response time and really understand, are we doing everything to make it as simple for the candidate as it can be? Because right now I feel like we have too many steps in the process. So we currently have 4 interviews throughout the process and it takes maybe 2 to 3 weeks to get that process through depending on the level of the position. We need to shorten that process.
So how do you approach the challenge of, reducing kind of the number of interviews and, really kind of streamlining a process, but also kind of balancing that, the risk of selection error or maybe not vetting a candidate enough. How do you approach that?
Yeah. So we've actually started doing committee interviews, which I've never been a fan of in the past, but I'm finding that they're becoming better. So we started this about a month ago to actually kind of cut down the number of interviews. Also for the candidate, I don't feel it's necessary to have 5 interviews throughout the process. So we've developed a committee, and because we're a global organization, we're picking basically key leaders within the teams, the appropriate teams across the globe. So one in our Europe team, one in the US team, and one in our Canadian team. So they're really, because they get a real understanding of the entire organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the managers that feel left out? I mean, I'm best picker of talent in this company and you don't want my opinion? How do you deal with that?
That's true, Kyle. It happens on a regular basis. There's always someone that always feels like they're being left out. Well, I think what we do, what we're doing right now is we're rotating that. So we're rotating amongst the team because we are hiring so many people. So just in North America, we're hiring 155 people this year. And in Europe, it's comparable. So we're going to hire over about 300 people. So we're rotating the leaders within that committee.
Got it.
Don't worry. Everyone's going to get their fair share of it.
Yeah, 155. I don't know how big the organization is, but yeah, that's a lot of interviews.
Yeah, we're only 400 people right now. We're going to double the organization in the next year.
And now a word from our sponsors. It can be stressful to choose the perfect swag to order for your company, especially when trying to find items that people will actually want to keep. That's why I'm thrilled to tell you about swag.com. Swag.com makes picking out corporate gifts simple and fun. In just a few easy clicks, I'm able to order customized product for my team that they actually want. Swag.com makes it their business to offer a wide range of products, so there's something for everyone. They carry premium brands like the North Face, Camelback, Ray-Ban, and more, all customizable with your company's logo or artwork. You can even create custom swag boxes full of great branded items, all delivered in a unique box designed for your company. And with swag.com, you can easily set up a corporate gifting program for your team with no platform fees. Their team of expert curators are standing by to help you design the perfect gifts for your team. Go to swag.com today for the perfect swag and custom gifts for your company. Right now, I have a special offer for all of you HR rebels to get you started. 10% off your order, but only when you go to swag.com/rebel and enter promo code REBEL10. Remember, for 10% off, go to swag.com/rebel and use promo code REBEL10. This episode is brought to you by Namely. We all do our best to keep ahead of business trends, but keeping ahead can be its own full-time job. With everyone wearing multiple hats, it's easy to fall behind. That's why you need to make the switch to Namely, the all-in-one HR solution that adapts with your business. Namely helps you and your team with all aspects of HR, from onboarding and performance management to payroll and intuitive benefits enrollment. Whether you have 50 or 1,000 employees, all in one connected and modern platform. Plus, Namely is customizable for your company, culture, and goals so they can match where you are now and adapt as you grow. Grow with Namely. Learn more about making the switch today by going to my special URL at namely.com/rebelHR. And for a limited time, get 1 month free. That's right, 1 month free when you make the switch to Namely. Don't wait. That's namely.com/rebelHR.
You know, we didn't really dive into your background here in the intro, but you know, you've seen the world of recruiting for a number of years. Spent some time at Indeed and ZipRecruiter, and now you're at Talent.com. So I'm curious if you've seen the over the years, have you seen this shift away from maybe what I would call a drawn out interview process, or an interview process that was almost intentionally slow and methodical, into more organizations trying to maybe make this just a little bit more efficient?
I have. So both when I was at Indeed and Zip, we were in a very high growth mode, which of course they still are. And I think with both of those organizations, when I got there, they were a much smaller organization and have, of course, gotten much larger. So I think I was doing interviews maybe many during every day I was spending a good portion of my day doing interviews. So we had to streamline that process. So I think it's really important for every organization to really look at how many interviews your leaders are doing per day, and how much time does that take away from their other responsibilities, and how does the candidate experience go along with the amount of resources that it's taking away too?
Absolutely. That's such an important point. And I'm sure every HR professional that's listening has heard this. It's like, you know, the hiring manager that's like, I'm just tired of doing interviews.
Yeah.
That's all I do. And, I think about, you know, it's almost like there's two different, I don't know, customers, so to speak. If you think about it that way, you've got like the hiring manager experience, like the person that actually has the vacancy and needs that person on their team. And then you've got the candidate experience. And then you've got HR in the middle. And I think as we've had this conversation and as I reflect on our own processes within the companies that I've worked at, you know, it's almost like HR is like we're the owner of that process, right? So we really own both sets of those experiences. And don't we just want both of those experiences to be good, right? It's not an and or. It's both of those experiences being good, right?
Yeah. And I think the key too is your applicant tracking system has to be solid. And I think that so many times is one of the biggest challenges when we take it from the candidate experience on the site. So we work with tons of our customers and we start going down the path of how long does it take for them to apply to a job? And as you know, some pre-qualifier questions and different things can take 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Do you really want a candidate spending 45 minutes? What is the drop-off rate for every step in the process?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I will admit this, full disclosure, I did not have an applicant tracking system until like a few years ago. I had managers like with their own individual zip accounts and like doing their best. Right now that's, you know, we got there, we're doing better, but yeah, just the ability for you to take a little web snippet, put it on a website. And then all somebody has to do is go to that, you know, just click one click apply.
Correct.
Auto populate all the data. Don't make them re-enter the data. Right. Like why do they need to reapply once they've already click the one click apply? All you really need is an email and a name and a resume. Correct. Period. Right. Like quit doing all the silly application stuff.
Yeah. So funny because my husband is actively starting to look for a job and he's just like, I don't understand why I have to click on this site and then go to and then I have to apply and spend 45 minutes here. And then I go to GE site or whatever, you know, whatever organization I'm going to. And I have to spend I submit the same information. It's just a difference. He's like, can you fix this? I'm like, I can't personally fix this. It's just an HR.
Yeah, get on the phone, Cindy, and call the HR manager at this job I'm applying for. Just give him, you know, give him hell, right? Like,
yeah. Funny, but then I have to take a step back and I'm saying from a candidate, I can see his perspective. Like he doesn't understand that this is just the reality many times because, you know, some organizations can't do the one click apply for various reasons. So
sure.
The less steps that a candidate has to take, the less frustration they have in the whole experience as well. And the more likely they're going to apply for the job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll go back to the DoorDash example.
Yeah.
And the way I think about it, it's like, okay, so I'm already lazy enough that I don't want to cook dinner. Right. Which is, you know, it was a Monday, whatever. And then I'm also just lazy enough where I'm like, you know I could pick up the phone and save this DoorDash fee and probably, you know, convince them to, you know, like do it, but I'm too lazy to do that too. Right. And it's like, and all I have to do is mindlessly hit this button and then I can, you know, I can get food. Right. It's like, I'll pay the $4 delivery fee or whatever it is. You know, it's like, it is, we're at that point in our society where we just want it to be easy. And if you make it hard for a candidate, even if they are mildly interested in your company, they might not be that interested, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're not all Google and talent.com and, you know, and Apple and, you know, sometimes we need to make it so easy that it is mindless. And I know a hiring manager would probably be like, well, that I don't want a lazy applicant. Well, you know, the truth is they just want it to be easy. And if they don't know who you are, it doesn't matter. Right.
Correct. And you have to think about the generations to come, the generations that are coming up and that will be graduating and the younger generations, they won't even type now. They just want to voice everything. So how are we going to handle those generations that want to voice text everything into an applicant tracking system? That is really something to think about for the future.
You know, the other way to think about that is this isn't about like a laziness thing or like people who are unmotivated. You know, this, I've had candidates who have actually said, you know, the fact that it was so, that I got hired so quickly makes me feel like this company moves quickly. And I like that.
Yep.
You know, I want to work for a company that is like innovative and cutting edge and moves quickly and is like exciting and like focuses on the candidate, because that's probably how much they're going to focus on the employee when I work there. Right. It's like, it's all part of that whole life cycle, kind of that onboarding, pre-boarding, like, you know, candidate experience.
Yeah. They feel good about the company. They feel like they're not going to be like, not think a lot about me. They're going to care about me, that, you know, it's not always about the salary anymore. You know, years ago, I think it was very much about how much are you going to pay me? What are your like health benefits? And those were like the key factors, 401k. It's not always about those things anymore. It's about the culture of the organization. What am I going to get out of this? You know, it's that personal touch that you need to make with every potential candidate. It's, you know, what are you giving me to make me feel good about coming to work every day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't see that changing. I don't know about you.
No, definitely not.
I don't think we're going back.
I don't think we're going back the way it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
Well, I think about it. This is, you know, it's kind of it's a similar context, not directly related to recruiting, but it's like, you know, if the average time that someone stays at a company is 3 to 5 years, which is pretty close, right? Depending on industry, et cetera. And you have a 6-year vesting schedule on a 401k, that benefit might not mean anything to them.
Correct. Yeah.
Because they don't, they're like, I'm not staying here for 6 years. I want to be here for 3 years. I want to go take the learnings and go do something new. And, you know, a huge insight that I've had over the last few years is, you know, if we aren't intentional about who we hire and kind of how we design jobs and what, you know, what we actually need for the job, and we assume that people are going to stay for 20 years, like the math just doesn't work out. Like that's not the prevailing trend.
Yeah.
And we got to be a little bit more open-minded to how we design jobs and how we hire people. And yeah, it's, I think everything is getting quicker, including job cycling.
Yeah. I think everything's moving quicker. And I think we just need to think about how are we going to take the next generations, and how are we going to evolve in the HR space?
Absolutely.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because the HR space doesn't change as fast as some of the other spaces do.
Well, that is, you know what? That's a perfect setup. I promise I didn't ask you to say that because that's why we exist at Rebel HR, right? It's like, okay, what can we do differently? Like, how do we fix this? And how do we, you know, how do we speed this up so that we're not left in the dust by the rest of the organization, and then we become the bottleneck for success, right? I mean, we're kind of seeing that right now as it relates to trying to get people hired and then keeping them in the organization, right?
Yeah. And I think to not be the bottleneck, I think the challenge here is that HR, you know, sometimes can be the bottleneck. And I think that's where the HR team has to be the leader of the organization and the ones that provide the recommendations to the hiring managers of these are the things we're going to do to get to the candidates versus the hiring managers always coming to HR and saying, I need these people. Can you help me? And I think that's kind of a shift in how most dynamics work in organizations. Or at least in our organization, it's us as the hiring manager saying, we need this. And then it's kind of the opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one question I'm curious to get your perspective on is we've talked about, you know, a lot of things that we could do. And I don't think anybody that's listening to this is going to disagree that, you know, speeding up the time to fill, improving the candidate experience, improving the hiring manager experience, making sure you have a great selection panel so that you get the right person. Nobody's going to disagree with that. But how can we differentiate ourselves as a collective group? Like what are the things that you've seen work as it relates to some of these organizations that are really trying to stand out against the crowd?
Differentiating yourselves from an HR perspective or as an organization?
Yeah, HR, as an employer. Yeah, as you go to market.
Yeah, I think as an HR or even employer perspective, I think it's about uniqueness, as well as what I say benefits, and I don't really mean benefits as health benefits. I think it's unique benefits. So what are you offering to that candidate that is outside of financial? So for example, are there additional volunteer days, and what do those volunteer days mean? And what are those additional days off? Or are there things in the office that you're offering if they have to go back to an office? And the office is a whole different topic. You know, are we doing a combination of work from home versus, you know, and that's, you know, that hybrid role. I think, what are you doing that's unique to allow that employee to feel like they want to work for you? So, you know, my husband used to work in the beverage industry. And so when he was in the beverage industry, a huge perk was, of course, getting beverages and having an allowance. So is there an allowance or gift baskets? If you're working from home, are you getting some kind of gift basket on a quarterly basis of food or food gift cards because you're working from home?
Interesting.
Just
okay.
Yeah. For employees that are working from home, making them feel they're part of an organization.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, we've seen, there's definitely been some other offerings out there in the market. There's definitely some folks doing some interesting thing. You know, I've been asked more in the last year or two about, you know, our corporate social responsibility pledge and what are we doing to go green and how are we reducing carbon footprint? You know, it's, what are we doing for diversity, equity, and inclusion as an organization? You know, so it's some of those things that I do. I would agree, like, candidates are looking for that. So if you don't have an answer for it, you better get one. But then anyway, you can actually differentiate yourself as you do recruitment marketing. You know, it's that much more critical.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Well, Cindy, this has been a wonderful conversation. And, you know, I feel like we're just kind of getting warmed up and starting to dig through it. But we are going to shift gears and go into the Rebel HR flash round. So are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
All right, perfect. Question number one, what are you reading right now?
So I'm reading Dare to Lead by Brené Brown.
Awesome. I was just looking. I think, yep, that's on my bookshelf. That's on my next to read list. So
yes, it's one of my, it's great. I read it a while back, many years ago, and I'm rereading it because it's one of my favorites.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Question number two, who should we be listening to?
So I listen to a couple podcasts regularly. Of course, I listen to The Daily by New York Times and then A Bit of Optimism. So, which is always positive and gives you some different perspective. And then I have quite a few parenting ones.
I get it.
Teenage girls need those. So,
middle schoolers, right?
Yeah, middle schoolers. You got
those are tough years.
Couple parent.
Those are tough years. All right, last question here. How can our listeners connect with you?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn at Cindy M. Klein.
Perfect. And we will have all that information in the show notes. Cindy, just really appreciate the time here today. And thanks for giving us some things to think about as we continually try to improve human resources. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. That does it for the Rebel HR podcast. Big thank you to our guests. Follow us on Facebook at Rebel HR Podcast, Twitter at Rebel HR Guy, or see our website at rebelhumanresources.com. The views and opinions expressed by Rebel HR Podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of any of the organizations that we represent. No animals were harmed during the filming of this podcast. Baby.